Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
Show number 1600 and I gotta look. Anyway, welcome as we come in with an abbreviated version of Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is great having you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get the who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how, right here, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom, all one phrase, dot, to the members of the Brother Man Network, some who will be popping by in a few. And happy birthday. Happy birthday to us.
Yay!
Happy birthday to us. 11 years, folks. This is anniversary week, and in 2012, we broke in with this show, deciding that we were going to extend what we do at Black Athlete Sports Network and be ardent defenders of the black athlete, the most innovative and imitated athlete on planet Earth. And over 16 other shows later, we think we've done well with that. Although we have a big project in mind that we have to still focus on, we are key in making sure that we are bringing home the whole point of we do everything. And it's not even a question of doing everything from every societal standpoint. When it comes to sports, we do everything. And that doesn't mean just every sport. That means every aspect of the sport. Now, when Roland Rogers, our CEO, came out with this in 1999, I can't say we all scratched our heads, but we were fascinated with the premise of, you know what, we should speak up for ourselves. All of us had taken turns, slightly pissed at some stuff that the mainstream media used to say, depending on pick an athlete, and the fact that they had no way of defending themselves if somebody called them on their bullshit. Well, we came up and we did. And the biggest argument across the board, well, not even an argument, but the biggest exclamation across the board was, well, we're not journalists. We're just personalities. Well, personality is a poor excuse of facts, and we've been trying to make sure that stays correct ever since. Meanwhile, rattling around the cans like Sylvester the Cat foraging for dinner is my man Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
What's up, brother? How you doing? How you doing today, baby?
What's up? I was thinking about the cartoon where Sylvester is running in through the garbage looking for dinner. Nothing. No offense to you, but like he was walking through a cafeteria and shit. But we've been through 11 years of this, G. I wouldn't have made it without you. And we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes,
I think the thing I'm most thankful for is the fact that it didn't take long to aspire to want to do this. It was the drive to make sure it was done right is what kept this thing going on. And I have you and Tony to thank for all this hard work and my colleagues. Professor Patrick, Reggie, Celeste, Rhonda, Cheryl, may she rest in peace. Everybody who went on their way to say what they had to say, be it on the left or be it on the right, I guess we have to use it from a baseball standpoint. We have a team of people who can hit the ball hard from both sides of the plate, would you say?
Oh, most definitely. I gain very respect for Professor Whitted because I did not like black Republicans. And Professor Whitted educated me on black Republicans.
We love the professor. We love his humor. And we love the fact that he makes sense on a lot of stuff. And sometimes you just have to listen. And, you know, that's the biggest problem. A lot of folks just simply won't listen. They won't.
I believe in the United States is getting ready to get into some serious, serious trouble, okay?
With who?
Because people are not listening to each other.
Yep.
People are not caring for each other.
Mm-hmm.
People are not loving each other. And see, when you do that, the devil is running around acting crazy, okay?
Well, there's no question the devil lives in the U.S. No, he's got a passport. But there's so much stuff that's going on. We have to try to stay focused and pick our spots. And tonight, one spot you'd like to pick is the fact that Lamar Jackson should be the next field general to get paid.
Michael, here we go.
Go ahead.
You pay Danny Dimes Twinkle Toes in the New York Football Giants. You pay him the money, but you can't pay Lamar Jackson. What is wrong with you? He had double the victories. He had double the percentages. He had double the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Double the playoff victories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like playoff appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me you can't pay this kid? Come on, man.
Well, it begs the response. Somebody got to come out their wallet. Who is the question? We have Tony McClain with us as well for a bit, and Tony, other than thanking you and G for 11 years of excellence, you know, you gonna give Lamar a couple of bucks?
I got a McDonald's app card if you might, but I can throw that in there for 15 minutes. I'll tell you what I told you earlier. I think he's played his last game for the Ravens.
I think,
when Daniel Jones is making more money than this kid,
yep.
Something's not eating up. Matter of fact, and it's probably not fair to put him in the same category because he's just whatever, but, you know, with all due respect, Geno shouldn't be making more money than him either. But
yes, no, you're
this
right.
Just shows you.
And it's more
a thing of Baltimore than it is Geno. Geno earned his money, but
yes, he did.
You know, Geno doesn't have an MVP. Geno hasn't been the focus of your offense for the last five to 6 years. So,
yes.
You know, but that all with all that being said. Why did you know? It's say what you want. Again, it's the slight of the black quarterback. Even at his best, they still are like, yeah, well,
but
well,
yeah. They keep, you know, the butt, you know, the butt sisters is gonna cost the Ravens their quarterback.
I'm telling you.
And what's so funny? And see, what's so funny is, I guess, you know, the GM has been like throwing out little subtle digs at him, and thank goodness one of his wide receivers, you know, spoke up for him and basically said, hey, why don't you, instead of saying what you ain't got, why don't you go help them? It's like, it reminds me of an old story, I guess, back in the day, Weeb Eubank or Don Shula. Big Daddy Lipscomb was
Big
coming
Daddy
in for a contract negotiation. I remember back then,
mm-hmm.
You didn't have agents and all this other stuff. So Shula brings him into his office, and he goes into this whole spiel about there's so much money for concessions, there's so much money for the team stuff, there's so much money for the stadium people, there's so much money for whatever. And Big Daddy, in his bluntness, so you saying, Mr. Shula, we ain't got no money? Now try to get away with that now, when basically every team in the NFL is basically its own oligarchy.
You're right about that.
Michael, 2015, going back to this for a reason. The black players of this league need to wake the hell up. I mean this. You had Danny Dimes, Twinkle Toes, get more money than Mark Jackson. Colin Kaepernick told you 8 years ago, and he told you what was going on.
And Gary, with all due respect, what have the players done since then? I get what you're saying, but you're still waiting for them to have a come to Jesus moment, and Jesus has basically driven off and taken his family with him.
That's right. Somebody said La Migra, and Jesus has left the building.
To me, it sort of goes back to that last CBA. Because I think if they had held out a little bit, see what the owners have always used is the thing of public opinion.
And basically,
if the players have said, we need some more concessions here in regard to what have you, they would have made out the play, because the oldest trick in the book is pitting is management versus
labor.
Is management versus labor. And somewhere I don't know the exact date, but at some point this country became so anti-union, and I know genuinely the players' union for professional sports really isn't on the same level as, say, Teamsters or what have you. But the basic principle of supply versus demand has never changed.
It became anti-human after the Nixon administration. The Nixon administration started this ball rolling.
Well, if I remember right, you might have something there, Gary, because I seem to remember, didn't Nixon do like a wage price freeze years ago?
Yes, he did.
He did. He was the first one to really go out of the union.
But you know what? As the professor is in the next, Fred, there's an interesting dynamic that comes into this, because people now are having to pay for styles. You know, we already know the Eagles quarterback hit. He's a red pass option quarterback. Mahomes, he's a quarterback who's mastered his offense, and he can move in any style. Jackson is electrifying offensively, especially when he runs. There are at least five or six different types of quarterback that the field general can throw out there, and all has been successful. I mean, Lamar Jackson, for better or worse, is 45-16, and there's nothing no one can do about that. But we know from what was done with Vince Young years ago, just because you win games, don't lose that job. He's been zapped out the league. But before I say anything else, I want to thank Fred for 11 great years, his insight and his humor. And much love, my brother. And don't forget me when it's time to barbecue down in North Carolina. Good evening.
Good evening. As a resident of a right to work state, we don't play that union stuff down here per se. Although we have industries here that are loaded. About 7 miles from where I, 7 or 8 miles from where I live, there's this company called used to be called Kelly Springfield. It's now called Goodyear. We have several other major institutions, including the railroads and all the other stuff in the area, that are loaded with unions. And so, you know, we can say we got all these kind of laws, but as a crow flies, it flies over a lot of union people too. Having said that. Looking at this whole thing, whether you're talking about unions, you know, we also have major league football here. We have major league We have I don't know how we refer to the basketball.
Yeah,
because as I tell you all every week, the influence of the Charlotte Hornets begins in Charlotte and only comes to the Yadkin River, which is about halfway between where I live and where they're located. There's more interest in right now, and I don't know if that game is over or not, but I know NC State and Carolina are playing in separate games. Well, Carolina's game should be about over now. And NC State's playing next. There's more interest in their game across the state of North Carolina than there is in whether or not the Charlotte Hornets have a game. So they are literally the Charlotte Hornets. Now, there is some union there because you have the players plus all the support, and a lot of their support staff, and, you know, they're unionized too. But, you know, there is a place for unions in almost anything and anywhere you want to go. Whether or not their effect is felt directly or indirectly, you know, that remains to be seen, and you can argue either way. But the other thing you have to look at is a lot of what we have now as benefits and all that kind of stuff came because of union. Because you had to deal with up front. We'll go back to the teams. Michael Jordan, with all his billions in that team in Charlotte, he still want to pay them as little as possible. Now, it's hard to talk about somebody who got. As I was watching some stuff about basketball, and somebody came out and they just got. You know, you got to leave. They got these stupid salary caps and like, you know, in what how does this pay? How I can pay Mike X number of dollars against
right.
the salary cap, but then Mike can go down the street to the other team, say go, let's see, one state over to Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I can, I can only pay Mike so much if he stays on my team, but the team in Tennessee can pay him through the nose,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't register against the salary cap. And until recently, a lot of time, you know, it was hard to hold. In today's environment, you couldn't hold this team together the way the Steelers held together for over
right.
a decade and win four Super Bowls. You can't do what the Lakers did with Showtime now. You can't do what the Celtics did with Bird and his trio. You know,
right.
and they were able to hold not only the stars, but the guys that supported the stars. You
That's
can't
right.
do that.
I'm glad you said that because, Tony, apparently Aaron Rodgers stays close to leaving Green Bay and headed to New York Jets. Although Woody Johnson can write a blank check for this guy, I'm not sure about the fit. And I'm not sure about the connection because he's old. He's absolute, so to speak, because the quarterback rotation from the star system has slid now that he and Tom Brady are no longer in the picture. And the Jets are Long Island's team. They're not New York's team. They're Long Island's team. In the same way that the Mets turned out to be second to, and I quote them, those motherfuckers from the Bronx, they're hoping that somebody will come in there, light up the tote board, light up the ticket sales, and produce the wins that they need to be relevant.
The Jets getting a former Green Bay Packer quarterback. That hasn't happened in what? How many years now? And then they wonder why the quarterback situation is so lousy. But you know, but I digress. I'm almost at the point now where I think the Jets are like some of these old school teams in the NFL, in the sense where they do just enough to get the fan base all hot and bothered, and I don't think there's an incentive to win there. I really don't. Even with the draft picks that they had a few years back, where they basically put the cornerstone of their team. I just get the feeling that they're there for the, you know, it's almost like they're there for the marketing, because you know,
yep.
Now more than likely he's not going to wear his traditional number 12 for the Jets, but as we hope the Buck Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit if there's a groundswell where they'll ask, where they'll say, well, you know, if Joe really wants to see, if Joe Namath really wants to see the team win, he'll let Rodgers wear his number. And that'll become, and that'll become a controversy, a little mini controversy, you know.
That'll
become
some paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, it's fodder for a moronic fan base that you have there. You know, matter of fact, you know, I think I want to call them the Hempstead Jets instead, because they don't train at Hempstead anymore, do they? But it seems like they used to back in the day. Basically, it used to, you know the old scuttlebutt was they were giant season ticket holders that weren't on the waiting list. That got tied on the waiting list, basically.
Mm-hmm. But Fred, You know, the right to work state issue is important because if you have to depend or if you're subject to those restrictions, whoever you hire has to know what the hell they're doing if they intend to maintain a team over the course of the season. And I get the feeling that none of the Carolina teams over the past couple of years qualify. So what do they do?
Collect draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Joe D loses money, which is never. The New York Jets will continue to do what they do.
How does a team that's guaranteed billions lose money?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. They will continue to do it until they do lose money. Look,
okay.
The New York Jets can care that they will lose. They don't care.
Well,
they don't.
Think of it this way, Gary. The New York Jets could care less because they're not even really the New York Jets. Where do they play?
In New Jersey.
And the same thing with the New York Giants. What NY team actually played in NY? It's really ridiculous because I was in Baltimore 2 weeks ago, and one of the things that I passed in transition from my hotel from the arena to the hotel. I had to pass that dump that the buzzards play. I mean, the Ravens play in every night. I saw it every morning when I came in. Every night.
Now,
you
know,
I can't tell if he's talking about Old Memorial Stadium or M&T Bank Stadium. It could be either one.
No shit.
There was something about a bank there was something about a bank in the name of it. So that, and you know, right over from it is another facility that's a much newer arena. But you know,
mm-hmm.
when you look at what infrastructure wise, when you look at what was poured into that area, so the Ravens would have a nice place to. Well, for them, it's a nice place to play. Then the basketball facility, from the looks of it, they might even share some parking areas. But, you know, when you look at the fact that in North Carolina, the Carolina Panthers, they are actually split between North and South Carolina. Because the facility is in a place called, until very recently, they still trained at Wofford College, which was the alma mater of once recently late Gary Richardson, that was his alma mater. And so he poured a lot of money into Wofford College for facilities, so they have turf field, and for one double school, they have an indoor training facility, the works, and then they have a matching indoor training facility in Charlotte, right over from the stadium. So it's a money pit, but the reason I asked that question about How can you have all this guaranteed money and be losing money? Because if you look at where some of this money goes, and, you know, and in the last few days you've heard, I remember one somebody was getting paid $105 million over 4 or 5 years. And you know, it's almost a sacrilege, because as I was listening to, especially the quarterbacks, now, I don't like calling billionaires dumb, stupid, or whatever, but a couple of them guys that got paid, I didn't have to see a gun. Ain't no way they, you know, it's like Matthew Stafford. They were talking about him on TV the other day.
Oh, that boy,
how he's all of a sudden such a great quarterback.
How'd they fill the other 4 minutes? That's what I'd like to know.
their premise was correct. Until he spent most of his early years messing up good receivers, good running backs, good linemen. When that was one of the examples they used. Was it really him, or was it the guys he was throwing to? Was it the people who was it the OC and quarterback coaches and so forth who finally found out where his strength was, and learned how to use it properly? The whole myriad of things that went into that, because one of the things they were talking about was that a lot of times part of what they were talking about was the enemy.
Yeah.
And how is it that he can't get a job while all these morons and misfits get jobs, two, keep jobs, and they don't produce.
I'll say this. Megatron was 6'5" when he played for Detroit. When he left, he was 5'11". That's how much he got the white meat beat on his ass with Matthew Stafford trying to throw to him. He was bloody awful. And I don't expect anything less from whoever else is next in line in terms of being a so-called Matthew Stafford target. Go ahead, please.
How is he doing all right now? Okay. Answer your question.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Fred. Please continue.
When we look at the big picture, the upside and the downside are actually the same, because what you have to look at is that when you look at all these quote prima donnas and all these other people coming out of college, as someone was saying recently, basketball players today are getting paid on potential, not on production.
Right. Football market. Like commodity market.
You see, one of the things you were looking at is if you go big time with you go professional, you know, your rookie contract ain't gonna be that much. I don't care how good you are. Your rookie contract, there's only so much you can milk it for, because they put things in place for the first 2 to 3 years that prohibit them. And it's so bad that when you are in baseball, you don't go, you know up front, you ain't going to the league. You're going to minor league. You might go to AA, or if you're really, really, really good, you'll be shipped to AAA pretty soon. They got a seasoning process. For me, see, now they're kicking that out of basketball, because now you got guys who don't even finish high school can go to the NBA. Now, how they think it's getting better is beyond me. I have a somewhat interest in it because of my nephew, but at the same time, I tell him, hey, you're not playing against guys in high school as a high school junior. I think they play in the playoffs, the finals this weekend. You don't
right.
play against guys on a regular basis who can drag you with one hand and shoot with the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to watch videos of guys of like Bird, he was a shooter, Magic, and all these other guys, and listen to them talk about their work ethic. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be running into some guys after next year that are much bigger, faster, stronger, and have killer instincts, who don't mind sticking in your face, who
mm-hmm.
shoot and not say a word but look at you. And once you make
yep.
eye contact, you then start trying to try to avoid their eye contact. They know they got you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what goes on among players. But when you go back and look at the management around those players, you soon discover that no matter how they made their millions/billions in today's environment, there's some things they're very good at, and then there's some things that they're total idiots. I give you rank and file number and give it number one, Jerry Jones.
Yep.
Jones.
No question about it.
Jones has successfully messed up the careers. I mean, you know, he's the team general manager. And you see, he has nobody to blame for bad choices but himself.
Yeah.
I don't care if he personally goes out and does the research. He has a team that does the research, I'm sure. You know, until his dying day, the Steelers had Mr. Nunn on retainer, making more than he used to make on a daily job, doing the job on a daily basis to the very end. He helped put things together for them because he was such a great judge of talent. Jerry Jones is not that person, nor does it seem he had people who would do those kinds of things. And
well, there you go.
That's the downfall of not only that team from Texas, but most other teams too. They do not have it's what's the word I want to use here? You got a bunch of delusional people, delusional people who are also yes men and yes women, who will tell you what you want to hear versus the truth, and then you wonder how you get not every great player is great for what you want to do. Or yourself.
Just remember, guys, Stephen Jones had to talk Jerry Jones out of drafting Johnny Foosball. That's all you need to know about Jerry Jones.
The phrase I want to use is, you got Dallas and you got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh sticks with its business plan and stays the course. Jerry Jones lost his mind when he missed out on Trevor Lawrence. And when he saw Lawrence come back from 27 zip and win that game in the playoffs, kicking himself. Because there's no way, unless he sells his soul, and at least three number one draft choices, he'll get a white quarterback again, the level of Trevor Lawrence. And Lawrence, I can't even say, is a good quarterback yet. He did something good, okay. But he's not ready to ascend yet. Jerry Jones is stuck, if you can say that, with Dak Prescott. In spite of the fact that Prescott wins games, he's the wrong color. And he's going to be doomed to that reality until somebody makes a mistake. The Elvis factor is alive and well. And the Giants, although they may have lucked up with Jones, they are out of luck in Dallas with the other Jones.
Well, I don't disagree with you, because most of the time during this time, I don't pay attention, close attention to the draft, because I got nobody I know that's being drafted. I will be watching to see if any HBCU players get at least a passing look, if not more. And you know, as we move forward towards the up to 2023 season, which is not that far away, because I mean, you know, like it's we're almost at the middle of March now. We're a good 10 weeks into the year. March Madness is taking off and going crazy and all those kind of things. And once they finally finish college basketball, it'll be full of, I think the minor league, I think our minor league teams, they're already practicing. Because I do a lot of work at the library, which is across the street from their stadium. And, you know, they're doing, putting the final touches on some things over there for the season. But, you know, you look like, you know, is the clock really running as fast as it seems? Yeah. You know, today marks the third anniversary of here, come take your trophy and get the hell out of here. It's going to be in Greensboro.
Yeah,
in 2020, the big thing in Winston-Salem State this year was this was 3 years since we won the CIAA in 2020. Our team was in the park. I think our team was one of several teams in the parking lot at the facility where they were going to Division II playoffs, or at least they were at the hotel. Some were at the hotel, some were at the facility where they were supposed to play or practice. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, it's been 3 years. Now, have we, you know, and the thing we look at for us is how did we get better over those 3 years, or did we get complacent or whatever the case may be? At the same time, though, when we look at these professional teams who found a way to play, once they, you know, once they got a handle on some what was going on, they found a place, a way to play. They played the USFL league and all that kind of stuff, and got things moving. But at this, now, we are the small fry, so to speak.
Yes,
we're the one with all the money and all, supposedly all the answers. And as I look around the landscape, I'm curious as to, you know, an old question. How could somebody who do some of the stupid stuff that some of these teams do and still exist? It's called guaranteed money, TV money. I think you refer to it as TV money.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's happening. Can you believe that Michael Jordan, Mr. UNC, all everything, number one, tomorrow they're going to get their ass kicked out of it. Not only March Madness, but they go into the boneyard. But his only real connection his team in Charlotte has to his alma mater is the fact that he went there. There is no major Charlotte Hornets presence east of the Yadkin River.
Wow.
The TV, you know, even with cable, it's hard to get the Charlotte Hornets on cable east of the Yadkin River.
That's embarrassing.
Which means a good portion of his hometown is Wilmington, no presence. His alma mater, Chapel Hill, no presence. Okay? And when you say Chapel Hill, you got Raleigh and Durham. I mean, if you're not careful, you can literally move from one city to the next and not know the other one. Because if you miss the sign on the corner, you go from Raleigh to Durham. You know, and they grow some, and that's not even including all the little suburban towns that are situated around it.
That's a bad thing.
A market of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there is little to no presence among the stuff. Like I say, there's the TV, you know how you do your TV shows, your weekly roundup.
Right.
That is not shown in Eastern North Carolina.
That is
now, the Carolina Panthers have a TV show. Matter of fact, they will be doing a show in about the week of the draft. They're going to do a preliminary draft show because they're on hiatus now. But they were just going to do a preliminary draft show and a post draft show to introduce the guys that they drafted, plus any free agents they may sign, in the interim. But let me put it this way. If you don't know, if you're in the Eastern North Carolina and you don't know whichever one of the ball boys is at Charlotte, if you don't know who they are, you would never know by their presence in merchandising. You never know by their visibility because
That sounds as bad as baseball once was. Tony, I know you got to go soon. I want you to speak on the World Baseball Council and the fact that it's been 10 years since the first one, and the United States won last year, and it looks like there may be points to win again.
Well, they're one of the favorites. I don't know, we're going to get a lot of the hype around here because of them being the United States. I mean, they have a very good team, no doubt. Dominican is always very good. Cuban team is always very, very good. But the thing about it, at least, if you're a baseball fan, you probably have watched pretty much all of the World Baseball Classic over the years. But if you're not, you probably haven't. But the reason why I would say maybe try to check it out is because you get a chance to see some of the other great players throughout the world. They build it up as sort of like the World Cup of baseball in a sense, because there are more major league players that are playing on all the teams, and plus you're getting some players from back in the day like Yoenis Cespedes and others that are playing in this as well. I believe Robinson Cano is playing for the Dominican team as well. But now maybe if there's a drawback, so to speak, is like the timing, because we're knee deep in March Madness right now, and I'm sure that put this way, if you can't watch college basketball this time of the year, then you're just never going to be able to watch college basketball, because this is you're going to get it in overloads. But in many ways, the World Baseball Classic sort of is a throwback to the old barnstorming days, in a sense, which was basically started by the Negro Leagues. When they would have off season, they would go over to the Caribbean and play in the Caribbean leagues and the Mexican leagues during the off season. So it's it's interesting because like you were saying. There was interest, but there wasn't as much of an interest. But since the United States is the defending champion now all of a sudden, it's getting a lot of hype and a few other things. But it's worth checking out. There's a game that comes on. There's two games actually tonight, one at 10 and one at 11. And Shohei Ohtani is the Japanese team. They play tonight at 11. Against the Netherlands. If you got FS1 and FS2, you'll be able to you should be able to watch both of those games. And I guess for like folks like Gary who live 3 hours behind civilization, they'll be able to watch the game at you got a couple of decent baseball games to watch tonight. I guess that's around 7 and 8 o'clock your way, Dan.
Of all the places that
I love the Caribbean, I love the Caribbean. 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 I They're gonna come
at
1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I hung out for a little bit to watch the opening game last night, but I had to tap out after the fifth inning because unfortunately I had to get up to go to work in the morning. But
yeah.
But it's good for you again. It's good ball. It's good to watch. Like I said, there's enough of a mix between major leaguers and other folks. If you're a baseball fan, even if you're not really a baseball fan, it might be something worth check out. Not that I'm trying to shill for the World Baseball Classic, mind you, but
no. But of all the locations, the Netherlands is probably the most unique. You know, Andrew Jones should be a Hall of Famer, and there were other players that were discovered off the Netherlands teams that played in the tournament and stuff. And I'm like,
Henley Jansen is probably the most notable one that I think folks know of that was on that Netherlands team a few years back that upset, yeah. I think he's the United States or Cuba. But yeah, it gives an opportunity for other folks, you know, that are trying to get back in the game. Or some minor leaguers that may not have gotten a look from their original team. So it's good to watch. It's fun. It's good stuff to watch.
Yeah, is it better to have a product that's worth watching that nobody knows about, or be in a position where nobody knows that you have anything, and all of a sudden people catch on to the fact that you might have a good team? Which one usually hits first?
Probably the latter. The latter. Because, see, you know, this has been going on for 10 years. But
10 years?
It probably has been getting more play literally and figuratively because the United States won the last one and they're the defending champs. So they've been pumping it up a little bit more. But again, it's one of those things where if you're watching, you know, MLB, to their credit, they have pushed the product. I'll say that much. All right, guys. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Keith. Is it insulting that, in spite of the fact that all the basketball franchises are making money, the Charlotte Hornets I'll still run like a mom and pop store?
The most honest answer I can give is we don't care.
Yeah.
There has not, I would love to say that the brother has improved things. But I don't see it. The last few years we were in the Charlotte Arena with the CIAA, they planned their season in such a way that they were always on the road during the time the CIAA was going on. There will be times when they may play, say, on the road Thursday or Friday. They might be, because I remember several times being during the week, they usually stopped in for a couple of days home and would come to games because they have special passes that allow them into the building.
Right.
And then they would also have and then they have a game, say, finals on Saturday. They have a game Sunday or Monday. Okay. That was a good work, you know, as far as that went, that was a good working arrangement, although there was no real emphasis put on pushing them through the CIAA. Nor
okay.
was there any real, no, you know, it was just, a, you know, it was like, you know, what's it called, Airbnb. where you take your house and put it up for rent to somebody to their vacation while we go. We're on vacation, we're gonna lease out our house. That's kinda how they did it. There was no real, as far as I could see, there was no real love lost. Because of where their facilities are located, someday as you were there, they may come in and do shoot around. Or they may be down in the weight room or whatever. So, you know, everything they needed as far as a professional team, basketball team, everything they needed was basically on site. If you go right down the road from there, you'd have the guys from the Carolina Panthers. You may see some of them. You may not if you knew who they were. Sometimes, you know, they will come as guests and whatnot. But, you know, the true downside of that is we don't care in our area that much because they have never shown any real interest in reaching this far east. Because, see, in the Metroplex around Charlotte, and T-Mac can tell you this as well as I can, if you drive down 85 or 77 through Charlotte, if you're not careful, you can be in, you know, we have this thing called Carowinds. If you see Carowinds, if you see Carowinds in your, out of your windows, out of your back window, you're in South Carolina. Yep.
Wow.
And we, a lot of the time, during the time they had, when this part of the CIAA was in Charlotte, we actually stayed in South Carolina because, one, it's cheaper, and it was easier because people outside didn't know certain things about the area. The last three or four years, we actually stayed in the northern part of Charlotte. You see, they have this thing called they have this rail system there.
Yep.
The first few years, you'd have to go south, almost to South Carolina, drop your car, catch the rail, going north. Well, the last 3 years, we stayed up north in the northern part, and you go down to what, 2 miles from the hotel.
Yep.
Park the car, catch the rail, walk around, get up the rail. The rail would take you, they call it uptown. Get off the train, walk around the corner. Two blocks, you're walking in the back. You walk in the media entrance door. That arrangement compared to what we had to deal with in Baltimore was great.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Baltimore, it was quite the whole situation is quaint, but it's quite different.
Yeah,
they're working on some things there too. So,
but it is two different dynamics. If Gary and I came to hang out, you know, to see the Carolina Panthers or the Hornets, and we want to go to a sports bar, if we couldn't go to a game. Does it sound like there's a huge list of locations?
Okay. If you want to just hang, there's this in Charlotte, they call it Uptown. The stadium, the arena, whatever it's called now, Spectrum Arena, I think is what it's called now.
Right.
It's about a mile and a half from the stadium. All throughout there, you know, the first three or four, in some cases as many as the first three floors of most of the buildings or a lot of the buildings, they're clubs, they're restaurants. To see, one of the assets as well as one of the problems during the time the CIAA was held in Charlotte, they had all these peripheral things out there that were, quote, spinoffs of the CIAA, but CIAA, one, wasn't getting no money for use of the name. Two,
right.
most of the problems that we had in all the years being in Charlotte, most of the problem, I think, was 16 years. Most of the problem we had in Charlotte had nothing directly to do with the CIAA. It's just that it was in the area. Some of Reggie's cousins would show up and not know how to act. Some of Gary's cousins got loose. And matter of fact, we had just walked through an area to catch the train one night.
Right.
And we probably hadn't reached the edge of downtown on the train. And there was a shooting. By the time we get to the hotel and, you know, get loose, guess what they're talking about on the television?
Sure.
Shooting. And they were tied back to CIAA, which, again, come to find out,
it was one of those
peripheral events. And see, in Baltimore, that hasn't started as of yet. I did not explore the arena like I normally would because it was, for one thing, my back was bothering me. And two, I just wasn't all that interested. But, the guy that worked, when several of the people that worked with us, you know, they went up, they took pictures of the floor and all that kind of, you know, good stuff. But my thing was, when I leave here, I'm going to my room. Matter of fact, three nights, I actually slept sitting up on the couch because my back was bothering me so bad. But when you look at the differences, there is more of a business climate among the things that are located right there by the arena, old arena. You know, they didn't have all this kind of stuff up when we were there, but they did make mention of a number of the old heads like Pearl and several others from the CIAA who had actually played in the arena.
Fred, have you ever run into a Charlotte Hornets fan or Carolina Panthers fan? I mean, like somebody who was really into it and supported the team, et cetera, et cetera.
Panthers is easy. We got a church full of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cause see, our church has a very interesting situation. Super Bowl Sunday was sweat, you know, that was what did we call it? Sweatsuit Sunday. And if you didn't wear a sweatsuit in your team's colors, you wore, I mean, it's nothing to see somebody. Fourth and fifth Sunday, most of the time the guys and girls wear their colors.
Okay.
You know, it gives us. We know who are the whiners who support the Dallas Cowboys. You know who they are anyway. We have a school here, Douglas Byrd High School. Our former senior deacon, and he's now a trustee. But we refer to Washington as Douglas Byrd High School because the colors and the lettering is almost identical. Douglas Byrd High School. But, you know, there are plenty of people here who love the Panthers because they're the Carolina Panthers. But we don't have the same love, especially, as a matter of fact, you know, I think one of the last times I saw somebody with a Charlotte Hornet jersey was a homeless guy. I can't think of nobody who truly supports the Hornets.
Wow. Now, Gary, we talked about that before, Gary. If we were in Oakland hanging out and we went to a bar, a sports bar, we wouldn't have a problem finding Oakland supporters, right?
No. No. No doubt about it. You and East Bay would be green and gold. Green and gold. West Bay would be black and orange.
Green and yellow.
Yeah, green, yeah, green, yeah, yeah. And then, West Bay would be black and gold, black and orange. Very easy, and North Bay would be black and silver, and South Bay would be red and gold.
Uh-huh.
Well, our colors are really black and yellow anyway, but anyway. We're not going to go that way because they're no longer the Oakland Raiders, so I don't blame Oakland for the mistake that they made. The mistake that's happening in Las Vegas now.
But
it's hard to believe that the leagues, with all their quote unquote smarts, would allow that market that ripe to just hang out there.
Exactly.
You know, especially looking at where some of these other places, you know, some of these other places that have.
And they didn't do themselves because what happened was, if you don't have a radio station, if you have a TV station, I ain't gonna promote your product. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's embarrassing. That's sad. You've got all this money that's being made.
I believe Major League Baseball wanted the A's out of there anyway. It was the A's out of there 10 years ago. They couldn't get them out.
Okay, so if the A's go, I mean, we know Vegas is a given. Where else would they go that Major League Baseball would say?
Go to Vegas.
I said besides Vegas. Where else could they go?
There's nowhere else they could go to Vancouver. I doubt that.
I doubt that too. They played an exhibition up there once with the Montreal Expos when they were the Expos, and although they drew 40,000 to the park, it was like, ho-hum, okay, when's football season start? It was one of those.
I think it's because the Seattle Mariners have occupied areas so long. It'd be very difficult to meet them at other Mariners.
Well, I see they're doing okay, and I think there's room for them. They got to let them in, though. I got Patrick Farrar coming in, and we'll ask him the same question. Patrick, Patrick's gone for now. He's still trying. But while we're in the midst of that, it's like you got sports fans spending money. I mean, this is not bar money. This is walk in the door, spend your money to see the game, buy your beer and hot dogs money. I mean, it's good money because it's foundation money. Why can't Oakland maintain this?
Well, Oakland had a bad start. Really, Charlie Benny. I think Charlie Benny made what he deserves. What he did with the A's. The A's won 3 World Series in a row.
Yes, they did.
And people still didn't go to their games. And the reason why is because Charlie Benny is like one of the cheapest owners.
Yep.
In the league. And that's why the A's will never put old in Oakland because of the history of the A's.
Well, you're right about that. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live and living color, folks. How's everybody doing?
Good evening.
Okay, Patrick.
Did A's split because Charlie Finley was so fucking cheap?
Let the church say amen. Education.
I heard that.
Yeah, Charlie Finley was legendary for squeezing lemonade out of lemons and trying to squeeze lemons out of nickels. It was during the time when I was just getting into in the early 70s, just getting into sports media intentionally on campus. And I worked with and being helped out by some one of the first black sports writers I know, and also the fact that I'm still a huge Dodger fan. They beat the Dodgers twice in the World Series. Mm-hmm. But following Finley, you know, Finley was an old school owner, man.
Yes, he was.
Get the most out of the players and pay them less and tell them to go home. They should be happy to play in the major leagues. Obviously, a man like that, whose mentality like that, couldn't survive today. But the result, the residue of that mentality lingered on, you know, and then it manifests itself in the fact of Billy Beane. He was, he said, I can do exactly what everybody else is doing with just as good a squad, but for as least money as possible. It's worked for him to an extent. They have one example, mm-hmm. but that was the model they used, and that model don't work no more.
Yeah.
The A's are the team. They would do just enough to get to the playoffs and lose the playoffs. You guys remember back in the 90s when they played the Detroit Tigers?
Yes, I remember that.
Johnny played Tigers. Verlander beat them by himself. Verlander, right? By himself, mm-hmm. beat the A's.
Okay.
I said, man, they needed one good pitcher. But
yeah.
Because of Billy Ball, when they played Billy Ball, they were not going to get a pitcher. Every year they had to go up against an ace. Number one pitcher, every time they would lose. Every time they would lose.
But Gary, it's hard to maintain. We have nothing to work with. I mean, when the A's won, they got rid of Reggie, Joe Rudy, Sal Bando, Claudel Washington. I mean, there were at least 7 or 8 ball players, Mike Norris, who were pro quality. And could have made anyone help win. They could have helped anyone win, and nothing happened. Who was the man or woman responsible for finding all that talent? We got Radio Reggie in the mix as well.
That's the beauty of the A's. The A's have one of the best farm systems in the major league. Right now, we got 3 guys in Modesto right now. They can go up, major league right now. I I don't know where they get these ghosts from, but they get the ghosts. They get the ghosts. Bitches, they get the ghosts. Infielders. These guys are wonderful ghosts.
Well, maybe they're using the formula that the Pittsburgh Pirates has moved to in the last 20, 30 years. They can scout their ass off and find out where all the good talent is, but they don't want to pay them. So shortly after, sometime around the All-Star game, they start putting guys out there on the field, let them play. They're good. The next thing you know, they're with another team.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I'm quite a Pirate fan. Have been since the day of Roberto Clemente. But do you realize I don't know one player that's played in the last five? I can't remember the name of one player who's played in the last 5 years in Pittsburgh.
I can't tell you remember the age.
Join the club. I'm an Oreo fan, and I can only go from the 70s when we played y'all in the World Series. And, of course, unfortunately, we got beat. But my thing is permission to, if I come in and say, gentlemen, it's an honor and pleasure to come in and speak. Professor, congratulations on Winston-Salem making the tournament with Virginia Union. Professor, did you hear on the ladies' side who made it? I know Elizabeth City,
Elizabeth City.
Are they the only ladies that made it?
I don't remember who else.
Yeah, probably nobody else, probably from the conference and everything. But, again, from if you look at the history, Cleo Hill, as many know, father was just as good, if not better, than Earl the Pearl Monroe, many say. I wish I could have seen him, but I never saw him. But I did see Earl the Pearl Monroe playing for
Earl.
White Cloud Frazier in that background. So, Professor, I had to lean on you about Cleo Hill because, like I said,
he's going this way.
I've seen films.
Yeah.
We'll see. They were different kind of players.
There you go, Fred. That's it, Fred. That's it.
And but according to Earl, Cleo was better than him because Cleo was more of a leader than Earl was, and that was a up and a downside to him, because he caught the concept that House was trying to put out. He could read, and again, you have to be. This is why I don't get into that your top five, your top ten conversation, because when the guys who knew Cleo, I talked to one of the guys that's on the All-Star table at the CIAA tournament. He played against Cleo. Cleo at 6'1" could play all five positions. Cleo at times got undermined by some of his own teammates because they didn't understand him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, When you go back and look at even with guys freezing out, he still scored 2,400 points, almost 2,500 points. And the only reason he didn't make it in the NBA was because he got blackballed.
What a surprise. What a surprise. And what year was that, Fred?
62, 63.
I rest my case. The year alone showed it off,
Part of the incident that got him blackballed also involved the Celtics and Bill Russell. Russell and them said, well, if we can't eat in this place, we ain't going to play. And they didn't. And then you had three white guys whose name aren't worth mentioning who were his teammates, and they were going to the owner and saying, we can't play with me. Now remember, these three guys played for Kentucky and LSU.
But Adolph Ruff, that upstanding gentleman.
that's that's where they came from. That, you know, this is the kind of guy they were dealing with, because they were telling me, and see, one of those guys was actually the son-in-law of the owner.
Oh my God! There ain't no more.
He passed too hard. He passed too soft. He passed too high. He passed too low. They found something wrong with everything he did, and at the end of the day, they used that. They ended up firing because the guy that was the head coach was told to bench him, and he refused. He said, you know, because he was telling them, this is the guy that they took go. Well, at the end of the day, he ended up getting fired, and the guy who came in behind him was more than happy to get rid of the Negro to get the job as the new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm known to a lot of people. He did play for the Eastern League. And that's when guys like John Cheney and those guys played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern League was no joke.
He was no joke. Because, see, the reality, the Eastern League is, in a lot of ways, was as good as the NBA. He didn't have the financial backing.
Mm. You're right. Right. Because one of the guys from Jersey City, the best scorer ever come out of Jersey City, Mike Rooney, a white dude, was in the Eastern League, who got cut by the Lakers because Jerry West thought he shot too much. He made the team, but Jerry West had him on the team where he shot too much.
That's
made the last cut.
And they say his biggest problem was there was only one ball.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Where you go, Fred. He thought his ball was his. Yeah, but Cleo was legendary. Also, I think one of the differences between Cleo and Earl, Cleo was a strength player. Earl was a finesse player. You know, Earl's style just attracted people.
Earl was, you know, if you watch, go back and watch Black Magic and listen to Kareem talk about when they played. When the Rucker players played the guys, excuse me, from Philadelphia.
The Baker League.
Earl's entry into the court was a show unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, street cred.
There you go, Fred. Yeah, they said we came up in New York, here come Blue Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, when he walked in, like, the whole crowd stood when he came in.
Earl's nickname was Black Jesus.
Your
mother's
Jesus.
Nickname was right. Black Jesus.
There you come.
Some people call him Black Jesus.
Yeah. Not knowing Jesus Black anyway, but that's another story.
The brother had double hip replacement surgery, so you know he was in pain. But, Patrick, real quick, I got to ask the question. My man Lamar Jackson, man, I don't know what the hamster is going on, but this ain't collusion to the highest. You, Ray Charles can see this.
Let the church say amen again. Reggie,
this is, I heard this morning.
Twinkle Toes, Daniel Jones.
When Twinkle Toes got his contract in New York, and Marty gets his contract in Baltimore, okay.
You know, Gary, I understand what you're saying, but the Elvis factor will stay with certain teams always because of who owns them. You know, it won't change. Jackson can throw for 50 touchdowns. The Giants won't take the Smith out.
Oh, no. Giants can't take them.
That's right.
Nor the Jets.
Nope.
No Jets. You know, let me break it down. Let me start playing. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame.
Yeah.
And However, there is a rumor going around, and I'll know it no more tomorrow. I talk to some guys. I'll be the busiest tournament tomorrow, and I'll talk to some other people with the national response, even though it's basketball. A whole crew of guys down that way who might know somebody about some stuff we don't know.
Okay.
The rumor is, don't be surprised if the Redskins pull something out the hat.
Oh no!
Dan just trying to fire the shot.
Don't be surprised if Redskins pull something out the hat. I've heard from two different sources already. I'll just wait and see. Because somebody going to want to pay him.
Yep. Hey, but Patrick, not change the subject. John Morant, the thing that really bothers me with this situation, you got Brett Favre goes out here and steals all this money, and the story is buried. I mean, if that had been, somebody like Warren Moon or somebody, an old player back in the day, Doug Williams, we'd have been eating this shit 24/7. They still got stories about Lawrence Taylor back in the day. But, yes, I don't condone what John Morant did, but now all of a sudden it seems like he's public enemy number one. And you got
What did Morant do?
And it might have been across state lines. He did the Gilbert Arena thing. God bless Gilbert, the ice cream man, my wizard.
Mike, I was going to hold off, but since Bridget brought it up, let me give you some background. About a little over a week ago, I was watching Michael Wilburn on the rep. I'm acquainted with Mike. Mike's a good dude. Whenever he came to New York, he and I was, exchanging pleasantries every time he came up. But Mike got on TV and Mike said, out of a company, he said, John Moran, the Grizzlies, you only do one thing, shut up. And I thought Mike said that before, but he said it with a passion. I'm looking at TV and said, damn, that was kind of deep. He said, the Grizzlies,
yeah,
really, just shut up.
Okay.
Okay, I said, oh, wait there. Well, about that time, I reached out to some other people I was talking to about the sports marketing stuff. And I'll say this. Listen, deep breath. Ja Morant blew millions. Let me repeat that. Let me take a deep breath. Ja Morant blew millions. Here's the first thing he did. Now, he had some stuff going for quite a while now. This ain't the first time. Here's the stuff last year that went. Now, this is how deep it was. We all know who Carmelo Anthony is. He just retired. But some folks trying to get him out of retire. That's another story. Carmelo had
back
to property.
Say that again. Oh, you got me. Say that again.
Carmelo Anthony. When Carmelo Anthony came out of Syracuse, won the national championship. Carmelo Anthony had some of the same stuff going on. Folk he was hanging around, people he was doing some stuff. Make a long story short, Carmelo Anthony was brought in and had a talk with the late David Stern. And David Stern told him this. He said, you can do what you want to do, but we are a corporation. And once you mess with the corporation, you got problems. You got problems. And if we got problems, you got problems.
That's gangster.
And here's the other thing he said. That's true. He said, we know everything you do. We know
how
who you're
doing?
With.
How you doing?
He, everything. We said, we know who your girlfriend is. We know everything that you do.
Matter of fact,
that's it. And who fried the chicken and what it was from the store.
I heard that.
Now, here's the flip side of that. Carmelo was, Carmelo was going off. Then he got busted again on a drunk driving thing. And Stern was about to put the hammer on him. But they got together with the league. And as a matter of fact, I'll get to that later. Got to the league, and Carmelo got the come to Jesus moment, big time. And thanks for
losing money.
Well, what's happening with Ja, let me be perfectly clear. I'm going to say it honest as I can put it. Ja got to get them niggas away from him.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, de-niggerization.
Thank you. There you go. There you go. You can't
That's
go to
right.
the mall.
And we ain't talking about moving out of a house either.
Your mama go to the mall being pissed.
We ain't talking about urban renewal. It's just nigga removal. We ain't talking about that.
She going to call Giant instead of John coming in with a couple of people who knew what they're talking about with nine guys packing. He gonna,
damn.
The laser that he had showed that was at the Pacers bus. After the loss, the third part, and again, some stuff like this happened last year, but nobody said anything about it.
Here's why
he blew millions. Now, you know, we got a contract for $231 million coming up starting next year, right?
Hopefully.
Now, what happened is, you know, they were about on April 1st to do what? Nike was going to put her shoe April the 1st.
Oh, shit.
Already, he has one of the first time in 3 years, NBA player has strictly a Gatorade bill, a Gatorade sponsorship bill coming out.
Yeah.
Just for Ja.
Damn.
And the people who pissed the most are the owners and the investors of the Grizzlies, because they were going to upscale the price of the franchise based upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it affect? Coming to the game, it affects the image of Memphis, Tennessee, which is all about Elvis. This kid was in a stepping toward that way to change some of that in the city. He blew millions. Now, here's the other part of it that I know personally.
Damn.
He mapped out the same thing somebody else I knew at the time I was working with the Nets. A guy named Stephon Marbury.
Yeah,
Stephon Marbury did the same thing. Here's some of the stuff I know personally that's happened between Ja and his people. This was Stephon did. When Stephon got to the Nets, now Stephon was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right? Yeah. Stephon came back home. Lord have mercy. When he came home, everybody thought it was a homecoming from Brooklyn over to East Rutherford.
Let me tell you, I remember that.
All your cousins came in there. Cause, you know, now they have a room when they come to the game, when family comes to the game, a family room for the game, especially for the families. As soon as they come to, you know, pre-game, laid out with, you know, with all the internet, things that the players' families need. Well, Stephon's family came in there, aluminum foil, and plastic cups to take stuff home. It was that big. And Tupperware. Aluminum foil and Tupperware.
Every game.
Now, here's what's worse. They come in, they assign seats, and the person who led the way, who was carrying the most, was Mr. Marbury's father, a nice man. But Mr. Marbury was never satisfied. They give Mr. Marbury a seat. I like sitting there. People getting in my way. I mean, it was crazy. Thank God his mama, Miss Marbury, has some levity. Also, Stephon Marbury's security guard, who was a brother about 6'8", about 340, amazing individual, had to keep Stephon from going crazy. Now, the big thing that here's a classic case of what Stern was talking about, some of the same thing John did. Ja had the daggone gun. They told Stephon, you know, to be cool. Stephon goes out and buys a convertible, right? In New York City, a convertible. Stephon goes out and buys this jewelry over 150 grand jewelry around his neck going out to clubs. The club owners have told, and one of them was Willis Reed, man, you need to cut this stuff out. Get out. Stephon goes to the club, comes out of the club. Two blocks from leaving the club, he gets robbed, right?
Yep.
Of the jewelry.
I remember that.
And always then he get the call because the cops was coming. Now, that reflects some of the same stuff with Stephon's family's doing that Ja's family's doing. Ja's father, he cannot be hanging around with his son everywhere he goes. Ja's mama got to be cool. The bottom line is, there's money they lost, millions, over the last 2 weeks. So, yes, he had to step away. Because if he didn't, it was going to get worse. So you're exactly right. Some stuff, he's been doing this stuff since last year, but nobody's sending up. And also, now they're going to be investigating that on him because in Colorado, he had a gun sticking out that thing that they did after the club. Come on,
how stupid can you be? I mean, how stupid can you be?
And this goes back to college, right? When you go to college, what do they teach you in college? Nothing but play basketball. And then go back to high school. See, it goes all the way back. God, not just learn this. He was doing this in high school.
You know, there's an old saying, best put by Steve Harvey. Everybody come with you, can't go with you.
Or
in the words of my daddy, God bless his sweet soul in heaven, he said, boy, you are the company that you keep. If you hang around with knuckleheads, knots will soon be on your head too, including the ones I'm with. And his father's out in the clubs with him. You can't do that. You his daddy. You were one of his boys. You want to be one to stop some of this stuff. But Ja's father's on TV, you know, because he looked like Marvin Gaye. Everybody thinks he's cute. And then they join with Shannon Sharp on his boys join with Shannon Sharp on the game because he's talking about Ja's game. Shut up. That's what Michael Wilbon was saying. All them guys, he's just shut up. Well, there's going to be a change real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Memphis Grizzlies, they messed up because they knew this a year ago. They didn't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Here they are in second place. Here they go in playoffs. Guess what? They ain't going nowhere after this year. Because the NBA will make sure they will pay for this.
I'm gonna tell you an example, Mike. What's the guy the guy that's really pissing a lot of players off? His name is Bane on the Grizzlies.
Yes.
Now this is where I know another indication where I know some stuff is wrong. You know, some guys coming into the arena. Now he's only been suspended for almost two fights, right? The latest one was with the. The guys on the Cavaliers now. What's his name? So anyway, he comes in the game with some cut-off shorts up to his knees, red boots, no shirt on, and a vest, an overall vest, and walking and said, "Yes, I'm bad." Come on, man.
What are you doing?
I mean, what are you trying to do? And quite frankly, if you don't watch out, you better watch out for the Sacramento Kings. We might bump them off. Guys, they don't get it. Like Warbon said, they need to shut up and play.
And see, that's the kind of advice that you get when you got some, you know, I'll call them par to above par fathers that we grew up under.
True.
Uncles who step in, the guy down the street or whoever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In the communities that we came out of, there was some, you know, my Aunt Lorraine that I always talk about, being she came to my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
When she said, don't let me catch you. She told me not to leave me hanging around her own son.
Because
mm-hmm. he messed with everybody but me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of community, you know, I have a nephew that's an outstanding ball player. And, you know, sometimes we never do it in front of him. But we tell his mom, you know, some of this stuff might want to tone down a little bit and let one of the guys in the family handle it so he gets used to that man voice thing. Because she tell him quick, hey, one, you ain't from the farm. Two, you ain't from the projects. Three, you ain't from the trailer court. You see, that's her lineage. Now, she purposely held back and did not take money from some of us that we were going to help her do the down payment on her house. She said, no, I got to do this. And she did. So now he lives in a nice, comfortable house, good neighborhood to work. And she would tell him quick, you know, some of these niggas you don't need to be hanging with. No, you can't go to this party. And, you know, and see, We have in this era, everything is about how much flash and flesh. How much flesh can you flash and still get away with it? Everybody knows everything about you. You know, as stupid as I thought this Ocho Cinco guy was, there's a method to his madness. You know, mm-hmm. you know, the famous question that the grandmas would ask you, son, no. Grandmotherly, baby, how many cars can you drive at one time?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Baby, how many necks you got that you need all these chains? Are you going as one of the guys from the church who plays for that team in that's supposed to be in Vegas now? You know, one of the guys. You know how. How many teams do you need? You trying to be Mr. T?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and see, we actually have one of our things that we do financial planning every two or three years we do we work with the young men in the church. And one of the things that they got to do is they got to do this class in financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have guys who do that kind of thing. You know, one is an electrician who is just retiring after almost 40 years with the VA. He's also a vet. Another one is a doctor. Another one owns a radio station. I'm a writer. And about three or four other guys who step in and do portions of this thing. And so many times, I never heard that. The reason you hear it, man, because so that you won't run into a wall later doing stupid
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, way back when, I don't know if you remember, they used to have this term called package minutes on cell phones.
That was a while back.
Back when they used to charge you through the nose for being up too. For being 2 minutes over your package, if the phone didn't shut off, it just charged you 10 times as much for the same minutes. And see,
mm-hmm.
you know how many how many phones can you talk on at one time?
For real,
you know, and see this is the kind of real that a lot of these guys never face. So they go out and you know everybody loves to do. That thing called hanging with your homies.
Uh-huh.
I sat down and listened to some stuff with these rappers and whatnot, and I'm trying to figure out what they so damn mad about. You know, whether it's Suge Knight and all that. You know, some of these guys, they take the thugisms too far, because they think this is how you really live.
They're playing a role. Yes.
How is it that Snoop Dogg is so corporate now? Well,
somebody
he was corporate already.
Somebody talks to me.
Yeah, he.
Hey, that's the football. Okay, guys, you gotta give me a third year. That's the football league. When they sign Drake, what did that for? Because Drake told everybody, don't go to the halftime show. Right? So here we are, 10 years later, it's Andre, and guess who the halftime is? That lady who was pregnant.
Rihanna.
Right. It was the highest halftime in 28 years. Hello?
Well, that's not a mistake. The NFL probably made, hold on, the NFL made more money this year than they probably made in the last 3 or 4 years combined.
No, they made
Patrick Mahomes
20...
signed that.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has a billion-dollar contract that has been more than covered over the last 2 years. He's made
and it's cap friendly. And it's cap friendly.
And it's cap friendly. And then some.
Amazing.
There's not a broke team in the league. Everybody,
everybody
is making money. Back in the day, there was always one team like Cincinnati or the Cardinals that was hurting for fun. Everybody got money now. There's no excuse. It's like the people you hire. Are they doing their job? And yes or no depends on whether they want a loss. When you see players like Jean Morant sit and waste money, it's more because the foundation of the formula for success is wasted on him, because he thinks it's as simple as going out and scoring. It's not. You know? Every time he scores, he's thinking he's doing his job. Every time he spends too much money, his job is doing him.
And Mike, in regards to NFL, it's simple. You're not in the league if you're not making. Everybody's making money because you can't be in the league unless you're making money. So it's structured that way.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Redskins. They're possibly sold for over almost $3 billion. Come on, anybody making money in the league. But who's going to be smart with it? That's all. And the fact that, very quickly, the fact that Jerry Jones got a $160 million four-year deal still is mind-boggling to me on 1 year. And you know,
he got $40 million. They don't understand why he got $40 million. He got $40 million because he's white. If he was black,
it don't hurt.
He might have got 30, but because he's white, he got 40. I'm serious. As conservative as they are, they didn't do anything earth shattering. They looked at the market. They said, well, we can't pay him more than Mahomes because that would be saying we value him more than anybody else in the league. And Jones can't touch Mahomes on his worst day.
No, they wouldn't pay him.
They made the settlement. They have to settle. You shouldn't be in a position where you settle. You got more than enough money. How you spend it would dictate how well you do.
And the trick is, Mike, they want to put on making too much money. The trick they want to put on is the fact that with Lamar is that, yes, I think collusion is going on to a certain extent in terms of what they're going to pay, but top price for Lamar, But I'll say this. Somebody going to pay him, and they don't give a damn about what the owner of the thing.
Exactly.
Just like I said, with Watson with the Browns, they said, it's outline money. Oh, no. There were two other teams involved that were going to pay the same price and more.
Yeah, his mother's his agent, he should have looked at that and said, that's the key. You know, time's on his side.
Hey, Patrick, what you going to remember about Jay old Boeheim if he stepped down from Syracuse?
He's a legendary coach, and he's established a precedent at the school. I'm glad they gave the job to Archer, the brother. And you know what? I tell you, the turning point, Reggie, was this. They ain't be getting the top recruits out of New York no more. And the brother that Archer is the top recruiter out of New York. They need some new blood because their program, I mean, they're selling well, but the program doesn't have the same kind of impact on the court it has in the last couple of years. And Boeheim knew that. And now, personally, me and Boeheim have had some issues twice. and asked him questions. And I almost went off on his ass about 3-4 years ago. I asked him a simple question while a particular player wasn't playing. He says, I don't want to play. I'm going, wait, he never said it that way. But that was him, you know.
He showed his redneck, huh?
And he's known that. He's known to do it to a lot of people. The thing is, he does it to people that he doesn't deem, let's say, if I work for ESPN or ABC, he answers another way. But if you're not from an entity, a media entity that has that kind of precedent, he's going to come at you funky. And I was about to come right back out of there. You know?
He looks kind of smug and arrogant. But he is. Yeah, but Patrick, I don't know if you know about the coach at Virginia Tech ladies basketball, Kenneth Brooks. He's the first black coach ever to win an ACC basketball title for the women. So I would love to see him and Don Sterling get together. I think Don will whip his ass good, but hey, even when white folks here in Richmond giving him love, I'm in shock.
You know, Rich,
the women's coach is black?
Yeah. Name is Kenneth Brooks.
He's a black woman coach.
Yeah, black guy coach in Virginia Tech.
Speaking of women, I saw the Tuskegee team play this weekend. Quite frankly, I was looking more. I was more intrigued with the aesthetics than the game. Quite frankly, but I'll leave that one.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
they're wearing some uniforms. I'm going, Lord, have. You know, the baby shorts kind of helped out, but they got these tight shorts. I'm going, Lord, have mercy.
and that's the bench warmers. That's not even the starting team.
And the team was good. They won.
It
was good.
Sounds like dessert. We like dessert, but we also like final thoughts. Reggie, set it off, please.
They called him a bitch. His mama called him a bitch. His aunt called him a bitch. Everybody called him a bitch. Yeah, I'm talking about Will Smith, and I'm saying this right now. It's really amazing to me that people want to sit up here and tell people how they should act by their pain. And, yeah, I'm sitting from D.L. Hughley. I'm sure all of us have gone through trauma in our lives where we still sit back to this day and remember what happened to us, that we try not to make the same mistake over and over again. But it just reminded me that a lot of black folks were so upset because he went in. And by the way, brother pocketed that $40 million. I ain't mad at him. But, again, entanglement, I never heard that phrase before. Now, I heard being cheated on and you fucked somebody. That's a whole different ballgame. But entanglement, is this a new word, Professor? I mean, when your time comes, you can help a brother out because I am shocked when I hear the word entanglement because I never heard that before. Cheating and robbing the cradle, yeah. But he's a bitch. She's a bitch. And I know people are saying mad because I'm saying this, but they started this shit. And as Chris Rock said, my mom and dad told me not to fight in front of white folks, but they also told me to be smart and get my money. And on a side note, did y'all guys know that a veterinarian had to pull a black person's tooth out? They could not find a black dentist. That shocked the hell out of me when he brought that up.
Whoa.
And he's still a bitch. Sorry about that.
Don't nobody know nothing special. Yes, he did. He nailed that shit. And Will Smith, I hate to say it, he's been punked forever until he bitch slapped his wife. And I don't mean necessarily take her out and scold her like an ass. I mean put her ass in check. Say something.
You got divorced
or something. He's pussy whip with a capital whip. There's no fucking way you can hold up under the light of day knowing what she did. Even on paternity court, that would be considered low down. Never mind. I'm at a loss for words. Professor, come on in with something.
The words entanglement.
I don't use words like that to cover up bull crap.
That's your professor. That's why I love him. A professor comes straight from the hip.
The thing I look at here is you got grown folks acting like children. You got grown folks setting a bad example. Will Smith, and all I'm saying is Will Smith took about 20, 30 steps between his feet and taking that swing, then he had to take that same 20 to 30 steps back to his feet. Now, having said that, if I was Chris Rock, I'd have $240 million because I had the one I got for the next week, and then I would go after his ass.
That's a Will Smith.
Something I learned from my dear grandfather and his brother, who were labeled on the census in 1910, they were supposedly illiterate, but they got lawyers. And when this guy tried to take our land back in the 60s, guess what? Them two old dudes have been dead for 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? From the grave, they spoke. This is my land. And it can only go to my children and my children's children. They didn't know nothing about no entanglements, but they knew get a lawyer to do your talking. My lawyer would do my talking. And big ups to all the HBCUs other than Winston-Salem State and Elizabeth City that I know of who are going on to the playoffs, the Division II playoffs. I've seen pictures of the Tuskegee women's basketball team.
Yeah.
All I can say is big ups. Hey, they look like real Bammers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Let the church say ow.
Hey, let the church say amen.
Amen. Because
they are truly blessed. Now, For those who would like to buy books, you can place your orders at www.blackheritage.com. We are moving ahead. We are about through with all the legal mumbo jumbo that we have to go through, and we'll be signing some paperwork in the next couple of weeks. And the HBC Heritage Center will be underway. Also, we'll be putting out some information on the Heritage Center for historically black high schools shortly. So Reggie, all the one or two schools y'all had to do enrichment. I know you missed all that because you're too young, but still, we're going to salvage and store the history of historically black high schools, because that without black high schools there was no black colleges. So we work hand in hand with each other.
Okay.
We just go from there.
All right, www.blackheritage.com.
Let's take a step back. Adidas could lose $1.27 billion. Let me repeat that.
Whoa. Did you say billion?
Could lose $1.2 billion in sales this year because of Kanye South. He ain't West no more. He's South. The split happened in October, right?
Yep.
The company, for the first time in 30 years, lost a total of 7% of their business. At the end of the last quarter, money period, Adidas lost $633 million. The money in terms of Kanye South is $540 million he's lost in personal sales. Mm. That's a hit that they say he was close to a billion. Far less than that today. I think he's probably down to about $400 million. Because of all the sponsorships. Just on that sneaker alone. That's the other personification of.
Again, yep. What a stockholder saying about that?
Whew. That's embarrassing. Yes.
Well, there's a guy I went to Stanford a couple years ago. This guy changed the sport. This guy changed the way people play the sport. His name is Elrod Tiger Woods.
All right.
Elrod Tiger Woods is in trouble once again.
Oh, no. Where are the white women at?
His girlfriend, Erica Irvin, signed an NDA, non-disclosure.
Yep.
This morning, she was that non-disclosure thing.
Uh-oh.
Why does she want to do this?
To sue his black ass.
Eric Tiger Woods is a sexual predator. I'm going to say he's a sexual predator. And she's going to spill all the beans. That's why Tiger was the NDA. This is going to be interesting to watch and see how this comes out. Ooh. Because if this woman tells all, you will never see Tiger Woods again. Never go 1 o'clock on Saturday.
I believe that.
Gary, let me tell you something, Gary. And this is what I can't understand. Now, Tiger Woods' wife wasn't that bad looking. Matter of fact, she got bad looking. And the blonde, she got better looking after she left him, and was letting the
money to do that to you.
Yeah, you got that right. And she didn't the brother. What's that defensive end on New Orleans Saints? She was dating him anyway. But the woman that you're talking about, she looked like trash. I'm saying
you can't even deal with
Shut
up, our trash. The bitch is in the restaurant.
Why would you see
who you dealing with?
Why would you repeat yourself over and over again? People are watching you.
Gay, because you ain't got no home training.
When his daddy left him, that was his support system. When his daddy left him, that was it. Just like John Moran.
No,
oh, no, not like John Moran, father. Oh, God.
You got to remember, you spent 2 hours here talking about people like John Moran losing millions. Other folks lose opportunities. It's easy to remember how much it is, or how good it is to win, how good it is to be successful, how good it is to be rewarded for being successful. But just like they did with Jackson and other players to come, they just wait for any crevice where they can get in there and do damage. A bad story is a good story waiting to happen. That's what the press does. That's how they feel now. And on a lighter note, I want to thank everybody involved. Reggie, I want to thank you for your humor. Fred, I want to thank you for your straight talk. And other way of looking at things. Gary, I want to thank you for just being here and giving me inspiration. Patrick, thank you for your wisdom and being a Taurus, being one day older than me. But having said all that, this would not be possible without you guys. You said that you hold the torch up for the black athlete as the most innovative and imitated person out there. And I think we maintained and did what the hell we were supposed to do. All I can tell you is our mission in doing our cold kick continues, and we'll be at it again on Sunday. Shout out to Rhonda, Bobby Booker, Celeste, Cheryl, rest in peace, and all the ladies who helped to pitch in and make this show awesome. Thank you for making sure that the Soul Tree Radio and Raw crew always keeps their shit locked. Everybody, please go stay safe. We'll see you Sunday.
Gather around and started talking. Cousin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher.